no one like our God. I'm thankful that we have that name to call on. And it's all right to call him my God sometimes, but let's give him a name. Let's call on that name that's above every name. People will let you say God, but when you start saying which God, there's going to be a dividing in the room. And I'm thankful that we know his name. Amen. Why don't you find somebody, shake their hand, you're dismissed back to your seat, whatever you want to say. Amen. You're dismissed as far as your seat. How about that?
Don't leave me now.
I don't know that I do, but I feel like I got a pollen filter in my throat and it reaches its limit. And my throat just goes dry. So please forgive me as I guzzle gallons of water tonight. Amen. But we serve a great God. Aren't you thankful that he's better than soap? Amen. He is better than soap. And amen. He's been mighty good to us. And I told our team the other day, we were off in the room in there, I thrive on personal interaction. I mean, I'm like a flower out of sunshine. You put me in a corner in my office where there's no interaction in there. If I'm in there 2 days, I'm going, help. And Sister Carrie, she's poor, bless her heart, she tries her best to keep me energized and pumped up, but it takes a lot of people. I think I told y'all, I went to Kroger the other day, and I probably need to do that every morning. That would help a lot of things probably on my side, but I'm so thankful. I said all that to say this. I'm so thankful for the day that we had yesterday together. Amen. Amen. And then the today that we've had together. Amen. And if it didn't help you any, it's helped me boatloads just to be with you guys. And because we begin to understand something about each other when we're around each other. And I was listening to this guy explain personalities and all that. And I'm not a psychiatrist. I need a couple of them, but I'm not one. And I was listening to his, and he said, anybody in the room, and you feel free to raise your hand tonight, anybody got, you're distracted easily, and, sometimes you just get drawn off into the wrong area, and, you forget things easily. I'm going to get a most of us here, what I'm saying? And we put labels on that, but that's just a human condition, and the world's trying to make us feel like we're bad. We're just human, amen? We're just human. And I think more and more it's just for somebody, you can decide who, to make money, to put labels on people. Amen. Because then you got to have this support group for that and all that. And I do understand that things are real. I'm not negating that. But I probably need 2 or 3 support groups myself. And this is my biggest fan group. Not that you're my fans, but I'm your biggest fan. This is where my fan base is. I love to be in the in church and in the house of God. And so I'm thankful for that. And so if you would, go ahead and turn to Philippians, like that was 3:19 syllables, Philippians 2, and verse 12 and 13. I'm going to talk to us a little bit tonight, more on a churchy basis.
Amen. Not evangelistically and not, this is part of salvation. I don't think we can preach without touching salvation because we need something from the presence of God always.
Somebody say always. Amen. I need something from the presence of God always. And I sincerely believe that we were designed that way. And you think you're going to get enough to carry you through several months and no, it don't work like that. You're going to need something from the presence of God. Wherefore, my beloved, everybody say beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, I don't have to worry about you. You're not one thing when I'm here. You're not one thing when I'm gone. You always obey. And that's a big deal in our world today. And I heard somebody say that they had a big hyphen event, and Brother Court Chavis talked about this, submission and obedience. You better be submitted to somebody and obedient in your walk with God. If you're not, you're not living as he has commanded us to walk. And I have to be submitted and obedient. You have to be submitted and obedient. And he was submitted and obedient. And the scripture spells that as he was submitted and obedient to his father. So you and I don't get a pass, amen.
But he says, I don't have to worry about that. And then he goes on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody say, my own salvation. That doesn't mean your own religion. That doesn't mean your own doctrine. That doesn't mean the way you see it. But it says, here's the word. You've been obedient to the word. You've obeyed the word. And now I'm telling you, you know what it says. Live like you know what it says. You need to obey it, and you need to be on target. Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Everybody say, worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Settle your truths down in our heart tonight and help us, Lord, to leave this place different than we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start from a place that's deeper than Google. I'm going to talk about some Greek words tonight. I'm not a Greek philosopher, and I'm not fluent in Greek and Hebrew. If I find out I know anything about Greek and Hebrew, I have to look it up. So I'm just telling you, none of this makes me look smart, I promise you. But Strong's Concordant lists a word that is pronounced in energio. Everybody say energio. And it means to be active, efficient, to do, be, effectual, fervent, be mighty in, show forth self or manifest in, work effectually in. And that word sounds familiar to another word that we know. Energio is the word we're using, but there's another word that's called inertia. Y'all know what inertia is? Amen. It is a tendency to do nothing or to remain unchanged. As it applies to physics, it's a property of matter by which it continues in its existing state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless that state is changed by an external force. I told my wife, I said, honey, if you thought I copied stuff before, you're going to think I copied this now. Because you just listen to this and tell me if this sounds like old country bumpkin James. But the Lord began to talk to me about these two words, energio and inertia. They're different. They're not the same thing. Energio means movement, work. It means alive. It means to show forth something that is in something that shows forth. But you could say that these two words work together because we are the inertia. He is the energio. He is the thing that works on this state of inertia and causes it to move out of its straight forward path. We're headed in a place, and it's called destruction. We're headed straight for the pits of hell. And if you don't know what hell is, it's hot, and you don't want to go there, and I don't want to go there, and I don't want you to go there. But let me tell you something. We need to understand that it's real and that we're not going to just worship our way through, praise our way through, blunder our way through. We're going to have the Spirit of God. You got to have the Spirit of God. You can't just be that inanimate object that moves in a straight line, unhindered and untouched by the Spirit of God. Plain and simple. This is the first time I've ever think I've done this preaching, but there it is. And I always thought, there it is. One little foam thing, that's foam. Plain and simple, you and I are the objects of inertia. No change or movement unless we are influenced by an external force. Now, it has been my heart for some time to talk about the gifts of the Spirit because we need the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Operating and proper operation. Right. The gift of the Spirit is not your gift to the church. The gift of the Spirit is not for the place that you can stand up and let everybody say, I'm the gift of the Spirit to the church. No, the gift of the Spirit is God's working in you to influence the church. I was talking to somebody after church, and we have this problem as people. We come in a room, and when the majority of the room is of a certain type, we shut up, we cower down, we shut down because we're different. Let me tell you something about that. The room needs you. The room is waiting on you. You're the agent of change. You're the thing that needs to be in that room. And when we shut down and when we are quiet, the room remains as it is.
you and I are the thing that's needed. We are the catalyst that needs to move into that room and bring the Spirit of God into that place and life into that place. And we bring life into that place by our praise. We bring life into that place by our consistency. We bring life into that place by having the Spirit of God inside of us. So another point that we should take away is that part of our makeup is spiritual. Everybody say, part of me is spiritual. And we say part because I'll try to break it down the best I can. Our body is the outer shell, the inert dirt. That's just what I came up with, okay? You probably could have said it better, but that's just dirt. And that's what Christ moves into. That's what all the rest of us, this is the house, the body, the soul is the inner wiring of this body. It provides the capacity, the conduit for life. You understand what I'm saying? The soul provides is the conduit for life. God breathed the breath of life into the body of man, and the body of man became a living soul. Mind, will, intellect is the decision-making part of that equation. The spirit, the influence upon these three, is the influence of these upon these three to propel it in the direction that this force enacts or places upon it. So you've got the body, you've got the soul, you've got the whole being, if you will, except for it needs something to propel it forward. Understand me when I say this. Hear me when I say something other than your flesh. And now your flesh has a lot to say about the something that propels it, okay? And your mind and your will and your desires has everything to say about what propels it. Somebody say, I get to make the decision. But something has to provide the propulsion. You ain't got it. You're not it. You ain't got it in your mind. You ain't got it in your body. You ain't got it in your strength. You're not that. But I need something to propel me forward from point A to point heaven. I've got to have something in me to propel me forward. Now, there ain't a whole lot of choices. There ain't a whole lot of choices. There's only a couple of somethings that can propel you. Somebody say two. And it got real deep on me quick, and I'm sorry for that, but it's just is what it is for. Because the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen. It's him in me that the wills and to do gives me the will and the force to do his good pleasure. Amen. If I don't have his spirit in me, I cannot even have the will to do what is right. Amen. Much less do the power to do what is right. So the key word or even phrase that we're talking about tonight is worketh in you. And so my title is, it's working. It's working. And I promise you that it's working. And you'll find out what the it is. But Thayer's Greek lexicon says that this word energio means to be operative, be at work, put forth power, to work for one, aid one, to affect one, to display one's activity, show oneself operative. So this energio in us is that worketh in us means there's something in us that is displaying itself through us. Come on. And that's why you got to be holy as he is holy, because it's displaying itself. And if it's not on display, then it's not working. But something's working. Something's working, but it's not working. In other words, the body and soul and will of man to choose what manner of work it will do. It is the body, soul, and will of man to choose what manner of work it will do. And then to choose the propulsion component, to add that to that body for it to complete its mission. And this is the mission of the man, which is comprised of the mind, body, and spirit. And it's complete when it chooses the propulsion component that it will allow to work through it. There's many verses, and I did not give these to Brother Josh because they're going to move quickly, and I want to get through them. But just to give you some basis of what we're talking about, this word worketh, Matthew 14 and 2, Mark 6 and 14 tells of how Herod, when he had heard of Jesus, thought that John had risen from the dead, and he said, therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him. because he thought what he was seeing was what John was doing, but John was just doing what was the Spirit that was working in him, because when he was a baby, before he was, the Holy Ghost came on John and it moved on him, and John did the will of him that sent him. He said, I'm not the one. I'm just the one that comes before the one. And you got to look for another. But he said, there's something working on me. There's something working in me that makes me do what I'm doing. Right. Hallelujah. Romans 7:5 says, whereby the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit. So we worked to bring forth in our members. This works in our members to bring forth fruit. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, the same God which worketh in all. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but all these worketh that one and the self same. And it goes on, but that's just the middle portion of it. And Galatians 2:8 says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty. And then Galatians 2:8, the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards. And it goes on to say other things, but I'm just reading that first little part. And then Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is the power of God working, amen. Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. Colossians 1:29, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. So we, and the scripture just plainly says this, God will work. So I get to choose the propulsion component for my life. I'm super excited about a couple of things, and I don't have the money to do them, but I like to, you know, think about them. I like to think about electrical cars. Now, come on now, I ain't trumping them or whatever, promoting them. That'd be the best thing to say, promoting them. I'm not promoting them. But, you know, to each his own. But there's just something about another power source that intrigues me. I know you're quiet now. And then we talk about these boats now. You got these boats that have these electric motors and these little, it's between a kayak and a boat. It's got a motor, drops in there. You don't even hear them. There's I was trying to convince my dad to get one the other day because he can't lift all this heavy stuff and do all this. And told him, I'll try to help you half on it or something to get you one if you want to get it. I saw one yesterday at Academy. It was about $1,700. I want to see him get on the water. If that's what he wants to do, that's what I want to see him do. But he can't maneuver a big boat and all that. And he said, I can't do that. But I said, well, you might could do this. It's light. And you just right down there and whatever. And he'd just be out there just chilling, just like, I see him with a straw hat now. Y'all could see him on an electric vehicle riding. No, I can't see that. But he's on my heart. Y'all pray for him. Amen. But we're all intrigued with different components of power. The mind is especially intrigued with power. And you, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how humble you are, you have a desire in you to have power. We all seek our different sources and work it our own way to get what we want. But every one of us has the capacity and the will to get what we want by some way or some measure, and we manifest that through different ways. Amen? You want your kids to do something? I mean, maybe you got one way, another parent's got another way, but there's some component that they found to get them to do what they want them to do. Now, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. Well, I can do it, but it's according to the power that worketh in us. And I used to think about this. I used to think about it as in how much power works in me. He can do exceeding abundantly. He's just telling you, I can do this, but it's all predicated upon the power that works in you. So if there's, I'm going to break this down for you. There's two power sources, two. So I can do it, but it depends on your power source. If you have me as your power source, I can do it exceedingly abundantly. I can do anything through you if you use me as a power source. Now, if you use this other Yahoo, not anything I can do. Nothing I can do. Because your will wins the fight. You hear me? So
So I can choose. I do get to choose. But when I choose, that tells the end of my story. Unless I change or my will changes, you know what I'm saying? That's me. The full passage that we took our text from tells us that in order to be Christ-like, we must be thus minded, that we must have ourselves of no reputation. We must have the form of a servant. We must be humble and obedient and thus allow God to work in us. This is the proof of the word or phrase that says worketh in you. The power of God working in you. The power of God propelling me forward. The body, the mind, and the spirit moved on by the power of God to do the will of God. And that is how we know when we begin to covet the gifts of the Spirit. We begin to say, I am here. I am available. And I am wholly sold out. I am committed. I am of no reputation. I am your servant. I am humble. I am obedient. I will do what you ask me to do, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. But God, if He cannot trust you, He will not give it to you. If He can't trust you, what you're going to do with it? He won't give it to you, because He has to trust you that when He imparts this gift to you, that you're going to use it according to His word. Now, Brother David, we talked about this morning in Sunday school, and then you get to choose again. After once you've received it, you can walk out and do what you want with it. And it blows my mind that God gives us, this man, this frame, that much authority. Right. But the Bible says that He gave us power over everything. You don't realize and it's a good thing. And sometimes, you know, sometimes kids don't know how much power they got because who their daddy is. And it's a good thing, because they'd run out there and say, my daddy will whoop your daddy. And he'd overload my boat. But let me tell you something. It's a good thing that we don't know all the power that we got, especially when we talk about the other guy. But let me break it to you tonight. I want to put this down to you. Because you don't know how much power you have that is equated to the other guy, you're letting the other guy run your ship. And let me tell you, he's not taking you to the harbor, to the port where you think you're going. He's going to put you half a hundred miles out at sea and leave you stranded. It is His will and His intent to destroy, to kill, to steal. He has it figured out. He's just wanting to know if you're on board. And you can't choose but two. The inanimate object moved upon by the external. And if I might blur the lines a little bit here, or rather the internal. But is it right, really Christ in us doing all of it, or is it that Christ is doing all this outside, just finally we've let Him in, so He's both in and out? I think He's both in and out. Amen. The inanimate object moved upon by the internal or external force of the Spirit of God. But let me be clear here, there is another spirit that's at work. And let me tell you, if you don't covet, if you don't want and desire the Spirit of God, you get the other one. It's automatic. You don't have a choice. You chose. If you won't let God, He wins. If you let God, then He loses. But there's no alternative. There's no coasting through life and getting to the end of it and said, well, I charted my own way, so I got my little heaven right here. Y'all go there. I just didn't feel like I was going to be welcome there, so I'm just going to hang out right here and do my own thing. It ain't going to work like that. I wish it was. Not really. But there's another spirit at work in our world today. I'm thankful for the Word of God that has given us so many infallible proofs that the Spirit of God is at work. We know that it's at work, but don't be deceived. Don't be naive. I read a book earlier this week that Brother Richard gave me, and while he was in my office, I read the first chapter. I think it was like the intro. It was really short, about 6 or 8 pages, I think. I read it. I was very, very, very intrigued by the book, just by the intro. And so I had this intent to keep going back. I think it's been a couple of weeks since he gave it to me. And so the other day in my office, I said, you know what? I'm going to take some time to read, because I've been trying to take time to read a little bit, study a little bit, and walk a little bit, and then read a little bit, study a little bit, walk a little bit, because it gets my mind where it needs to be. And I picked up that book, and I read it straight through. The name of the book is LSD Railed, and it's the testimony of a young man that was raised in the church but who had backslid at a young age and had allowed himself to be influenced by the world, more specifically the substances, substance abuse and entertainment of this world. And I must tell you, they ain't much difference. One addicts your body, the other addicts your mind. I'm going to say that again. One addicts your body, the other addicts your mind. Actually, both of them captivate your mind. Both of them captivate your mind. I might be able to share a little bit. But I hate to sound old and dull here tonight, but you can only eat from one of two tables. And that's the table that Jesus has spread tonight, or the table that the enemy of your soul has spread. The table that the enemy has spread is piled high with sweet indulgences. It's piled high with sugary things, things that keep you coming back. And I was reading this article the other day about how this certain chemical is used in artificial sweeteners by these manufacturers, and this started way back in the 60s and 70s, that they started putting these things in our food to addict us to it. So you're not really even addicted to the food, you're addicted to a chemical in the food. And I'm thinking, y'all, it's a conspiracy theory. Say, well, I'm pretty sure this ain't no conspiracy. I'm pretty sure this is fact. Because the good that I would do, I do not, and that which I would not do, I do. So let me just tell you, you can laugh at somebody who's got a substance addiction. You can laugh at somebody who has an entertainment addiction. You can laugh at somebody, but when you can't take care, we got no room to talk. You ain't going to hear me sitting out there running my mouth at one of them, because you know what? I got plenty to work on myself. Right. Amen. But his table is piled high with every delectable sweet you can imagine. No one to tell you you can or can't eat it. No one to tell or to spoil the fun of filling your heart with whatsoever and whomsoever you desire. No one to tell you when, where, how, or why. I am the captain of my own vessel. And I put in bold letters right here, and I would take a picture of it and send it to all of you right now. And this is what it says after I said that. I am the captain of my own vessel. Hogwash. You ain't captain of nothing. You're not in control of nothing. Amen? You don't have to look very far to see just how out of control you are. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will put it in our mind to be in control of some things, and we'll think we have the tiger by the tail, and he will get us so fixated on things in our life that we will look around and we'll see that we've wandered out a way long way from shore. And I'm talking about us. I'm talking to you and you and you and you. And it might even be good things that you think it, but you think I'm taking care of this, I'm taking care of this, I'm championing the cause for this. And I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to have to hold on to your seat tight, but you can think that you're championing the cause of your family, and you can lose your family trying to save your family because you think you're doing it all right. You can think you're the one that's paying the bills, and you can get it wrong, and you can find yourself bankrupt. You can think you're the one providing for this, and you're the one providing for that. But let me tell you something. When we stand for God, he's going to tell you who provided what. And it's going to be a separation of who provided what. And it's not going to be about me, and it's not going to be about you. It's going to be whether you listen to the voice of the devil or you listen to the voice of God. That's it, period. And I'd rather lose my finances. I'd rather lose my career. I'd rather lose on every account, but not lose my soul. But there's a simple fix for that. It's not standing on a podium and beating it to death. That's not it. It's not you trying to take control of everything. It's by letting God let go and let God. If I could tell each and every one of us, eyeball to eyeball, let it go. You're frustrated. You're confused. You don't know why the church does this. You don't know why the pastor's kids do that. You don't know why Brother Daniel's kids, and he ain't got any, does this and does that. You're all confused. You're worried about stuff that don't matter. Let it go. Because it is up to God to will and to do through us. He says, you let go, and I'm fixing to show go. And we talk about this in ministry. You know, there's several of us that have talked over time, and some of us that still talk about ministry. If you champion your cause, you're going to get in trouble. If you're promoting your cause, you're going to get in trouble. And it might sound like the right thing to do right now, but you'd be better off to step back two or three notches and wait on God than you would to be step forward a half a notch. Because when you go beyond His will, you are out of His will. If you go beyond His will, you are out of His will. If you step over the line, you are out of His will. And I can't say it. Why are you so frustrated, brother pastor? Well, let me tell you why brother pastor is frustrated. Because you have got to be in the will of God, or we all lose.
Right. Amen.
The church, the body suffers. The body suffers. Amen. And I know how it might feel. You might feel like, man, he's on my case. He's this, he's that. He's always asking me about this. You know what? Go ask somebody else. I'm on their case too. I'm after them too. And you know, and we get this mentality like we do as children. We say, well, you know, why don't he love me like he loves them? He do. But guess what? Sometimes he don't blab everybody's business. You know what I'm saying? But it seems personal. It's not personal. I want us to make it, and I want this to make it. I want this community to have a church that's sold out the whole route completely, moving where God wants it to move. But we can't do that as long as we don't know who's running the show. And it ain't Pastor. Amen? You know what? There's some books I could read and have. There's some suggestions I could take and have. And I've taken some of them and done some of them. There's some of them I won't take and do anything with, because guess what? You can come in here and do a whole lot of stuff to change stuff, and if people ain't ready for it, you can kill the whole thing. Kill the whole thing. But we all want to command our own vessel, but no man commands his own vessel. The Bible says that we have two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Can't serve them both. He'll cleave to one and shun the other. Your mind, body, and soul were created to have an internal power source. And I really want you to think about it like this, that you can't thrive without a power source. And there's only two. One is the original. One is the bona fide. And the other is an imposter. The other is somebody who says, I can have as much power as God. And he tried. And he was kicked out of heaven. That did not stop him from continuing to try. He still believes. He still to this day believes. Why? Because he is blinded by pride. And I want to tell you something. That's the biggest thing that this room has to figure out right here. This is the biggest thing that we have to fear, is that I don't become blinded by my own pride. Let me tell you something. I ain't too big to say I'm sorry to anybody unless my pride gets too big and my pride don't allow me to say I'm sorry and I become blinded by my pride. And guess what? You're the problem. You're the problem. And you're the problem when I'm blinded by my pride. It's not me. It's you. Because somebody else has got the steering wheel. And somebody else is pointing my windshield where what it wants me to see. And if I'm not careful, I'll see everything that he wants me to see and not what God wants me to see. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Take the coals off the fire. Put them on me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we were created to have this internal power source. And that power source was hacked in the garden. And may I remind you that you do want power in your life. You want it. You desire it. And it's the downfall of man to want power to such an extent that it thinks that it is the power source. But no man can serve two masters. You can read all the Spirit of God passages you want. I'd like to be put on notice, and let's all be put on notice tonight, that there is a power at play, a force at play, and is not playing to win the game or the battle. It's playing to win the series and the war. It's not concerned about a skirmish. It's not concerned about the second inning or even this game. But when it's playing for keeps. It's playing to destroy you. And this book that I read talked a little bit about that. And it talked about how that
with these LSD trips that he would go on, these drug trips that he would go on, he would see these beautiful and wonderful things. And he would come away and people would be like, what in the world were you talking about? You were talking about this and that and the other. And he had seen all of these beautiful things. And our heart craves to see those things. Amen? And depending on your personality, it craves it more than others. And I'm going to tell you that I want to see the power of God so bad that, let me tell you something, if I'm not careful, I'll take a substitute. I'll take an alternative power source. And I've mentioned a couple of those things in my young life that fortunately, through prayer of my parents, maybe some of you, that God pulled me away from those things. I've not ever been on an LSD power trip. I don't know what that's like. I've never been under the control of an illegal or, I guess, a legal subject, unless you call Percocet and, Flexeril. I was real close on that one, but I had to shun those things because, man, that was good. I'm telling you that because that's how easy it is. Amen? And let me tell you, if someone in here has a prescription drug problem, we're going to love you and we're going to pray for you, but come see me. You need somebody in your corner. Because you might think that you don't have no help. You might think that no one cares about you, but it's as real as the nose on your face. And it's legal. Well, it's not really, because they tell you to take it in the dose that you're supposed to take it in, and we need a little more than we think we need. But you need to be careful. And so I'm saying that from the heart of a pastor that says, please be careful about those things. And talk to somebody. There's plenty of hotlines that you can call. If you can't tell somebody that you know, call somebody and get the help that you need. And that goes on up the line, too, to substance abuse and alcoholism. Well, we're in the church. Yes, we are in the church. And that's why we ought to have some of that on these pews. Because we're in the church. It's a hospital. It's a soul-saving station. And if you look down your nose on somebody because you find out, well, I didn't know they did that. That's bad on you. Bad on you. Shame on you. So there's a spirit that's working. Yes, it is working. But the question is, which spirit is working? Which one? And I have never felt such an urgency than I do right now. Whatever your plans are for life, you had better be sure you know who your power source is. Amen. Samson, tell me where your strength lies. Samson knew too, didn't he? But Samson's power did not come from his hair. That's where he messed up. Well, if you shave my hair. Oh, wait, Samson, you've messed up, buddy, because now you're trying to act like it's your hair that's the power. The hair is not your power. The power is in the keeping of the vow. The power is in the keeping of the vow. It's in the covenant vow. It's not in the hair. But Samson got comfortable with the power source, and so, it's my hair. Come on, you hear me? Your power is not your oratory skills, and your power is not your beauty or handsomeness. Right. And it's all God-given. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. He gives you all kinds of natural things, but let me tell you something. That is not where your power is found. It is in the keeping of the covenant. It's in keeping the promise that you made. And you know what? It should break your heart when you break his. Right. It should break your heart when you go against his word. It should break your heart when you fail to pray. And it should break your heart when you fail to read the word of God. It should break your heart because you missed an opportunity to have communion with him. Right. It should break your heart. And we should never have to listen to a pastor preach on prayer, reading God's word, and fasting. We should never hear him ask us, we're calling a fast, we're calling a year. We should never, ever have to do that. We do that for the sake of those that don't know. And let me tell you this. This is just a little bit of prevention here. Let me tell you. When we have altar call, it is your responsibility to come whether you need it or you don't. You know why? Because they're watching you to see if you get anything. Well, I see she don't go and she's been going for years. Must not be anything to this altar thing. I'm not going to go. But when they see all of us say, it's altar time, I got something, there's got to be something somewhere. God, show me something. I know there's got to be somewhere I can come up a little higher. There's got to be something I can do better. When they see that, they're like, I need to go to the altar. Amen. I need to get something. I know something's wrong with me. But they're not afraid to say it either. Come on, get off of your high horse. There's something wrong with me. Amen. There's something wrong with us. And we're human. There ought to be something wrong with you. And if you think there's not, that's what's wrong with you. Amen. So if I come to church and I sit back and I say, wow, he's busting it tonight. Well, he's getting to everybody. Thank God he ain't got nothing to talk about with me. This is it. Because there's a power source. And anybody ever heard of a dual power source? Cars have them. Cars have a dual, a lot of cars have a dual power. It works off electricity and off of gas. We just talked about you can't serve two masters, right? But we also talk about straddling the fence, don't we? Amen. And if you're trying to operate on two power sources, you are operating on one. Amen. There's nothing more confusing than somebody that can't make up their mind. The vow was his source of power. Be ye holy is where our power comes from, because we made a vow to be like him, Christ-like. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That's where our power comes. The internal power source which drives both body, soul, mind. All three. Two and one. Let's say two, yea, three. That's just a joke for Tuesday night. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It was mentioned this morning, wasn't it? This ain't no addition. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore. How do I know that the power of God's working in me? Because when I hit opposition, when I do go against things that don't go my way, when I ask three times and he doesn't take it away, it says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm not proud of the thing that's wrong with me tonight. And I'm not picking anything. I don't know of anything right now. And so, but I'm not going to say there's not, okay? That's where I'm making the delineation. I'm not saying there's not. But I wouldn't be proud if the Lord was to put on blast up here on this thing and says, James, this is your problem. I'm seeking to figure it out. I'm. What's the Bible say? Check yourself. Examine yourself, right? So an examination is not that you know what's wrong, but you're trying to figure out what's wrong. So I'm trying to figure out something. But if it was put on blast up here tonight, it'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? It would be embarrassing. But guess what? I'm not proud of it. But I will thank God for it. Because it's pushing, it's working out a more perfect me. Amen. Day by day. You ever been doing everything that you thought was right, but you knew something was wrong? I'm going to help y'all out here a little bit. That little boat that I talk about, it's about to kill me, about to blow my mind. I'm out there on the water, and that thing won't crank, and I call Brother Sam and say, y'all want a boat? Know somebody wants a boat? I'm giving away a boat right here. It's free. Come get it. I don't want it. I'm out there. Getting the throttle ready, you know. It's going this time. No, just keeps doing it. I've got the vent open, I've got the choke, I've got the bulb, I've got the everything. Now I'm not pushing any of that, because now we're beyond that. We're probably choking the thing, flooding it, you know. I'm doing everything I know to do, right? Pull it back here to the church, put it in the thing. I was talking to Brother Samuel, like, I'm about to shoot holes through this thing. I go down there, and there he is sitting by that boat. I'm like, what in the world are you doing up here in the middle of the day? I don't know. Just got thinking about it. Something's wrong. There's got to be something wrong. And I'm saying, you think you ought to see my YouTube feed list trying to figure this thing out. I drag the thing out there, hook up the water hose to it, and start, because you can't run it dry, you know. I know all that. And get going and pull that thing. One hour. Maybe it's just my butt in that seat it don't like. I don't know. I go out there and I run it. Take the girls up and down the lake, Sister Carrie up and down the lake. Come back. But the vent wasn't venting. I had unscrewed the cap and left it loose so it could pull air. It wasn't getting air. I didn't know what was wrong. I knew something was wrong. And tonight you may be, what's wrong? There can only be one of two problems. That's it. I'm going to simplify it for you tonight. You're either led by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of this world, or let's say, that's it. If your walk with God is suffering, it's because you're not walking with Him. And it, you know what? It could be simple. And listen to me. That's, come on now. This is not a condemnation statement. Right. It's not a condemnation. The only way I knew there was something wrong with my boat, because it wasn't working right. Now I get out there and I start piddling with it and figure it out. Now it's taken me 6 weeks of piddling and watching YouTube videos to figure out what was wrong with it. But the scripture we read says, work out your own salvation. Amen. With fear and with trembling. God, something is wrong. Something's wrong, God. I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. The answer is not sitting in the Sunday school class or doing something else and not coming in to where the presence of God is. The answer is not coming into the presence of God. The answer is getting on your knees and saying, God, something's wrong. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. I refuse to let offense rule. It's not them. Oh, God, I'm not using them for an excuse, but something's wrong. What's going on, God? I haven't heard your voice in a while. I need to hear your voice. Waking up in the middle of the night, what's wrong? That's where your answer comes. Not in blaming. We've never been able to propel this flesh. I was inert until the power of God acted upon this inertia. And let me say this, we may be moving somewhere, but it could be in the wrong direction if the other one's at play. But I have decided that I am His workmanship. I am His vessel. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He ordained them. He laid them out. He made the path for us to walk in them. He showed us how to walk. He exampled how to walk. He lived like we should live. He died like we should die. He gave His life like we should give our life. He submitted Himself as we ought to submit ourselves. No different. He's not asking us to do anything worse or anything better. He said, just live like this. And if you think that we're going to get a passing grade when we get to heaven and we say, well, I was weaving in and out a little bit and I came across the path. He says, no, I needed you to walk in the path that I ordained you to walk in. Saul said, I did it my way. I went the way I thought was right. I'm trying to figure out why that's there, because I don't remember putting that there. But I know why it's there. I'm serious. I don't remember putting that there. And I go through my messages, and I'm here now, and I'm like, what in the world? But I know why it's there. I do know why it's there. Amen. Let me have you, brother, stand up. Samuel, Saul, I thought I told you to, I'm here over there, and I don't want to make you look bad, buddy, but, you know, we ain't going to talk about this in front of people, but, you know, I thought I talked about total annihilation. Well, I thought it would be good. Do you know what you did? You know what you just did, Saul? You set up failure for all of your people to come because you let live what I told you to kill. Well, I wasn't real clear on the instructions. No one told you you couldn't ask. You know what I'm saying? We always pull that one. Well, I misunderstood what you said. No. I said, do it all. But you decided you'd keep the best. That's a you decision. That's not a me decision. That's a you decision. You decided you'd keep this one and that one, and, you know, you wouldn't kill it. You decided that, Saul. You decided that it was better to do it your way than God's way. And your way, let me just tell you, pride and your way is the devil's way. It's not, because again, you don't direct your own bark. Y'all know what your bark is? It's your boat, your vessel. You don't direct your own vessel. So either you're letting God do it, and you know, bless our dear souls, bless our hearts. But when we're not doing something wrong, and I mean, I've heard people in church say this. Well, say what you will about what I think about this, but I'm just not going to do that. I heard what you said, God. I heard your voice. It was clear to me what you said. But I decided. And Saul said, I did it my way. I did what I thought was right. And there is a way that seemeth right to a man. But the ends thereof. I believe it says it to this degree. I don't have this in my notes. Like I said, I'm like, learn. But the ends thereof are death and destruction. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And tonight, the Spirit of God is reaching for a soul that may just have an unvented fuel system. A small fix. A very minor problem. Not something that's going to, even you, the people in the church are like, oh, yeah, we've struggled with that too. No big deal. Yeah, I did. All I did is crack the cap on my fuel system, and it went to working perfectly. We should have talked about this. We would have got this figured out. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. We should have talked about it because we would have known that you got that problem, I got that problem. Well, how we get it fixed? It can be fixed, but you don't know how to fix it sometimes. Brother Tom and I had a similar problem on our trucks. And that's how I knew why I was smelling burning oil, because he had the problem. So then I looked smart when I went and got mine fixed. But I was sitting there thinking, why am I smelling burning oil on my truck? Well, it was because of a little thing over there on the side, this little thing that works with your turbo system on these EcoBoost that still's leaking right there by the intake on your cabin filter. And so when you turn your heat on in the winter, like we were doing, whoo, what's that smell? Fixed. I know that by talking to Brother Tom. And how funny it is that we'll go to Jesus and talk about stuff, and he said, I'm waiting on you to talk to your brother about it. Right. Your brother knows the answer, but we don't believe our brother. Because how could somebody, finite just like us, give us the answer? You know how they do? Because God puts people in places that have been through addiction. They've suffered through substance abuse, pornography. Amen. All other kinds of addictions. They've been through divorces. They've been through wrecks and mangled pieces and still got shrapnel in their body to prove they've been through stuff and scars. But we don't listen to them because they got scars. And that's why they have those scars. And we even tell our kids not to listen to them because they have scars. And guess what? Now our kids don't talk to people about their problems because they don't want nobody to know that they're imperfect. And we're all imperfect. Amen. If we weren't, we wouldn't need him. And the Spirit of God's reaching for a soul, but you're looking through the storefront of hell and you can't see what's in the back room being concocted up for you. All you see is the finery and the things that looks good. The lights, the blinks, the glitter, and the pleasant confectionery that's sending off that sweet smell. I seem to be doing good at making people hungry the last few days. I hope that I'm helping. I hope that I'm affecting your spiritual appetite. Amen. I really hope I'm working on your spiritual appetite. And that's all you see is the sign in the window, hot and ready, hot and ready, hot and ready, hot and ready. Krispy Kreme gonna be selling some donuts tonight. Hot and ready. That's all we see. And I've been with people, I've been on a diet, and my will, my resolve was firm. And they had to turn in. You know what I said? Well, I guess if you want to. Fooey on what they want to do. I want to make it. And I've got the decision-making power. But my flesh is weak. Who will deliver us? I thank God. Amen. Turn away. Turn away. Amen. Turn away. What did your mom and dad always used to tell you as a kid? If everybody jumps off the water tower, you gonna jump off? No, you know I'm not. But here we are standing on the proverbial water tower tonight, and we're like looking over the edge going, well, hey, they did it. Don't lean on the arm of flesh and its desires, or you will fall into the clutches of a cruel taskmaster. And tonight I open this altar because I'm talking to me. I'm talking to every person that's involved in leadership, every person that's involved in a ministry of this church. You had better be careful, because the Bible says that a man, when he thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. And I'm telling you, I would point people out from the bottom of my heart and tell you that you're a pillar in this church. You're a pillar in my life. I love and respect you, but I will not allow you not to think that this is important tonight.
Amen.
Because if you think that you are above this message, there is a devil in hell that's standing there with the clutches, and it's reminding me of these machines that I've seen that were antiques, that everything was controlled by these handles, and it was work. I mean, clutches are moving over here, and you're doing all this work trying to move, and it looks complicated to you, but the devil's been here before.
Right.
He's done this a long, 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 long time. And Tuesday night, if you'll remind me, I will talk to you a little more plainly about this. Brother Perez will have our young worshipers in the room in there. And there are some very, very, very serious things that are happening in the spirit world and have been happening. This is not new. This is not something that I've just, woo, Lord showed me something. It is not new. But I'm telling you, there are things that if you could see, and I believe that if you will go to God in prayer and you will tell him to open your heart and you will ask him to begin to give you the desire for spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, that you'll begin to see things in the Spirit that will scare you to death enough that you will not be complacent about living for God. You will not be complacent about living for God, because there are spirits. How close they are, we're not going to talk about that tonight. But there are, and you say, that's scare tactics as pastors use. Thank God that a pastor would have enough guts.
Amen.
To stand against the enemy that's staring you down tonight, to get a hold of you when you walk out of here, to make you think that nothing that was said here tonight applies to you and to me. You know, I could walk out of here tonight and say, whoo. But when I get the message, you know who it's for? Me. Me got to hear the message first. And you know what? You know when it's really good and the Lord really moves on hearts is when I get the message. So tonight, I'm asking us, Sister Carrie's going to come to the music. I'm asking you, turn away from the idea that you're in the controls of anything. Turn away from the idea. Because let me tell you, you can be in control of some things, and you can say, well, I'm in control of who gets to be in control, and you are. And so when you give that control, you can make a lot, stir up a lot of trouble.
Right.
Or you can stir up a lot of goodness. So don't lean on the arm of the flesh. The heart of the pastor tonight says turn away. This altar is open, and I don't know where you stand tonight, but I dare say that there's not one of us that can say we stand perfectly. So as we come, I just want you to pour your heart out to God and say, Lord, there's got to be something. What's wrong with me that you want to show me tonight? What has the pastor been beating the podium for 45 minutes for? There's got to be something here somewhere that I can change. and the power of God is reaching for you, because the lover of your soul is crying out in the night, come away, come away, come away.